Okay, scripture for today that Zig would like read is Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Hebrews 2, verses 1 to 10. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. For he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking, but one has testified somewhere, saying, what is man that thou rememberest him, or the son of man that thou art concerned about him? Thou hast made him a little while lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, and hast appointed him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not see all things subjected to him. But we do see him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through him are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings.
Doug, I had to change the message. I know that's not the scripture you gave me, but when I first looked at it, I said, why in the world did he ever give me that message? You know, that passage of scripture. I looked at that and I said, there's no message that can come out of there. And then when I looked and I got down on my knees and started studying and looking and got the books out, and I sit in my living room usually and I have all my books around me. I sit against the wall on the floor and I have vines over here and I have a commentary. I have my study Bible, have my personal Bible, I have everything all around me and my notes and everything, notebooks. And finally something came and we trusted it will be of the Lord Jesus. So we had to change the message a little. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for what we've already heard and experienced. It's been such a delight to hear the name of Jesus Christ raised above all names. That's why we're here this morning. We're here to praise you, to bless you, to give you honor and glory for the great God you are. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Hebrews, please. Hebrews sounds like it belongs in the Old Testament, doesn't it? Huh? Well, it's in the New Testament. Go to the book of Revelation and go back about 25 or 30 pages and you'll be in the book of Hebrews. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 2 this morning. Before we begin, well, a couple things. One is, we have the opportunity to go to other churches, and Bev and I had our busiest year ever last year. I think we preached in something like 42 different places, and we're supposed to be retired. We're supposed to sit back and watch life go by as we sit on our lawn, but it hasn't been like that, and we're thankful. We're busy, we get tired. But God supplies those opportunities for us. And we go to different churches and we take the good stuff that they have and we take it somewhere else. You guys have something real good right here that we took back in January. It's called the prayer note from Tim Wall. Still some of these sheets out there, right, Tim?
I think so.
Okay. We hope that there are. I don't know all the kids in the Sunday school, but this was to pray for your kids in Sunday school, and I don't know who they all are. Some of you I know, but I pray for you collectively as a group for all the little kids. But what I've done with this sheet, and you can do the same thing, is I put our grandkids at the top up here. Or maybe kids in your neighborhood that you know that you can pray for. So at the top of that sheet, I put Kayla and Dale and Gianna and Jonathan and Caitlin and Caleb and Matthew and Jordan. And last but not least, way over here, future generations. I don't know how long we're going to be here. Frankly, I look at what's happening in the world and I don't understand why the Lord Jesus hasn't taken us out yet. Isn't that amazing? Stuff that's going on in the world? Wow. God has His purposes. Well, Hebrews chapter 2. We're just going to deal with three verses this morning. David Jeremiah said, God created the angels without body and animals without spirit, but man was created with body and spirit. And because we are created in body and spirit, we can worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We can do that, and we trust that we are. God has given us the capacity to know and love Him, not a little, but a lot, completely. How much do you and I love God? How much do you and I love the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, we sang this morning, heart and soul. Love Him that much. It's easy for us to pull away, to do our own thing, to approach the Christian life in a half-hearted way. You know, one day it's my way, and then the next day it's God's way, and we kind of bounce back and forth, don't we, at times? But the Lord Jesus doesn't want that. He wants us completely sold out to Him. And that's what Hebrews 2 is talking about. Let's have a little survey this morning. How many of you have been saved 5 years or less? Raise your hand. 5 years or less. Okay, put your hands down. How about 1 year or less? Okay, good, good. Over here, anybody? 6 months or less. Good. Good for you. Welcome to the club. It's a great club, isn't it? Yeah, it's fun. Good. Sometimes we get confused. I can remember being a new Christian, an early Christian, and maybe for the first 1 or 2 years thinking, you know, this can't be that real because at times I feel like I've lost my salvation. And if you're here this morning and you're doubting your salvation in any way, I can tell you on the assurance of God's Word that once you are saved, you are always saved. God loves you. He's going to keep you. And no one is going to pluck you out of His hand. Eugene Peterson in The Message says this about verse 1. It's crucial that we keep a firm grip on what we've heard so that we don't drift off. And he's right. It's so easy for us to drift off in this crazy world that we live in. Paul says it a little differently in Philippians 2:16. He says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And Paul was right. He knew that even though he was coming down to the end of his life, he had finished well. Man, I'm 67 years old, and I'm looking around, and I'm seeing some of these, I've lost some of my heroes lately. Adrian Rogers gone to heaven. Jerry Falwell, whether you were politically correct with him or not, I don't know, but he was one of my heroes. Mrs. Graham just died recently. My heroes are dying. They're going to heaven. Wow. But I see a lot of guys in my age who are just dropping out. I don't know whether they're giving up or they're just so the pull of this world has gotten them so much by the throat that they're giving up. Turning their backs on their faith and they're walking away. Every time I hear about this one and that one and this guy or that gal. These are people my age that should know better, but something's going on. They're drifting away. Don't drift away. All of us want to start well. We want to run well. We want to finish well. We want to get to the finish line all in one piece. Can we do it? Of course we can. And Hebrews 2 gives us the guidelines to follow. It's a blueprint to follow for spiritual success right up to the end. Will we follow it? Three steps. Number one, verse 3. Can we escape? If you're taking notes. Number two, who do we see? Verse 9. And number three, what's the outcome? Verse 10. Number one, can we escape? Escape someone running from the judge. That's what verse 9 says. Let me read that. I'm sorry, verse 3. How shall we escape if we can neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? The confirmation is that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Why would we want to run away from him? I have a series of questions that I have here. Let me read some of these to you. See if anything clicks with you. Will we neglect the gospel message and choose something else? Why would we do that if we already knew the truth? And look at these guys that have drifted away and they know the truth. These were men that stood up in a pulpit and preached God's word, and all of a sudden something happens and they're gone. Wow. If we're saved, why would we risk losing our reward in heaven? Chasing rainbows down here. So many rainbows you can chase after down here. It's incredible. Why do we set aside the peace only Jesus Christ gives to pick up scraps of nothing? You know, the Lord has allowed Bev and I to have a sum of money so we could do some remodeling in our house, and we've done that. But even with all the good things that we've done, that's all going to disappear. It's all going to be gone. What brings you satisfaction, joy in life that Jesus Christ can't give you? He's the one who can give real peace and real joy in this life. Why would we even think about drifting away? David, writing about the only secure hiding place in God, said this: if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalm 11, verse 3. You know, if your foundation in Jesus Christ is crumbling and falling apart, I would urge you, get closer to him. You know, the old adage is, someone is moved, and it's not God. He's still there. In other words, if my total trust is in God through his Son, you and I will still be secure, even if everything around us is falling apart. That's so true. I hope you believe that. And if you're here this morning and you have your doubts, I can assure you, based on God's word, that you will not be lost or thrown away. God doesn't do that. Psalm 46 reiterates the same thoughts. Now, it talks about tsunamis coming, mountains falling into the sea, great catastrophes. Even the worst of the worst things that could happen, God still hasn't given up on you and me. Psalm 32:7 says, you, God, are my hiding place. You, God, will protect me. You will keep me. Who protects you? Is it God? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him as Lord and Savior? He will protect you and keep you. That's number one. Can we escape? Why would we even try? Number two, who do we see? Another memory verse, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. How many men? How many men? Some people believe it's only those that have been chosen, those who are the elect. What does the scripture say? Every man. Jesus Christ came to die for every man, woman, and child. Again, it's Jesus Christ and him only. The word see, but we see Jesus. To look at, to behold, to regard, to take heed of what he's saying to you and me, that we might listen and obey. In other words, here is the one to follow, the one to build your hopes and dreams on. And young people, please take notice. I know you look at the successful, quote unquote, successful people of this world. Man, they look like they got an exciting life, huh? All the bright lights, all the glamour, all the money you want, all the kind of people just clamoring after you. Any kind of car you want to drive, you go to the showroom and pick it out. Got all the money in the world. They look like they're so happy and joyful. But you know, they probably aren't for the most part. Boy, I would urge you, if you're a young person here this morning, seek the Lord Jesus Christ first. Get serious with God. He has a plan for you that is absolutely perfect. I mean, why would we go after something else as imperfect? Scripture says in Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early in life will find me. God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. Is there any more you would want out of life than that? To know that you're doing what Jesus Christ wants you to do? Seek Him, first of all. A college student was being interviewed one time. He sat down and the interviewer said, well, what do you want to do with your life? What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to finish college, first of all, get my BA degree. Then what? Well, I'll probably go on and get my master's degree. Then what? Well, probably go out in the world and get a job somewhere and start climbing the corporate ladder. Then what? Probably, you know, find somebody I can marry and have a couple of kids, and then what? Put the kids through school. You know how it is. You got to save money for college and there'd be expenses as they're growing up and all that. Then what? Well, then I would have climbed the ladder as far as I can go, and that's probably it for me. Then what? Well, then there'll come retirement. You know, we all have to retire sooner or later. Then what? We all got to die sometime, right? But then what? Yeah. Then what? I see these guys that are dropping by the wayside, and I say, then what for them? Young people, now's the time to make a decision for Christ. While you're young, you don't have all the responsibilities yet. Make a decision that you're going to follow Him, and regardless of where the path leads, you're going to follow Him and trust Him. I hope you'll do that. Number one, when can we escape? Number two, who do we see? Number three, where are we going? You and I are on a journey to the same place. Let's take a look at verse number 10. For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. There's that word again. We just read that, didn't we? Sure we did. Verse 9. Made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. No one suffered like Jesus Christ suffered, did He? Taking the sins of all mankind, yours, as bad as person you are, I'm a little bit worse than that. He took those sins, put them on His own shoulders, and died on the cross, that we might believe in Him and have eternal life. What a great God we have. We have Sky Angel. Sky Angel is good. Good alternative to the secular network. But you know, Sky Angel is not perfect. It's made by imperfect people just like you and me. But it is a good alternative to what you see on TV nowadays. But every once in a while, someone comes on TV and says, even on Sky Angel, if you don't give that $100, our ministry is going to go under. And I'm thinking, listen, if your ministry can go under for $100, your ministry is probably not worth having, right? Oh, my goodness. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, these guys have a lot of nerve to say that. Usually it's guys. You know, you some of us have probably done that. You know, we felt a twinge in our heart to do something like that, and we do it. You know something? You send $100. This guy's go down. He's going to go down to Cancun, probably. You know, you and I aren't even going to get a postcard. You know, let's be careful about the things that we support. Put your money in the Lord's work here, and you can't go wrong. Amen. We started with Jesus Christ. We'll end with Jesus Christ, some sooner than others, but all arriving at the right time at the same destination. This is just something I wrote in here. Never build your case for forgiveness on the idea that God is our Father and He will forgive us because He loves us. Charles Spurgeon said that. God does love us. He loves us very much. He loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son into the world, that our belief in Him might be so firm that when we see Him, we know that because we trust Him for salvation, He forgives us. We know that. Don't think that God has forgiven you just because He loves you. You love Him in return, don't you? You love the Lord Jesus Christ. You love His work. You love His people. Be careful. See, it eliminates John 3:16. We can't do that. Jesus died for all, the Scripture says. So if we think that God is going to forgive us just because He loves us, and He does love us, but He loves us to the point that He put your sin and my sin on His Son's shoulders, that we might have eternal life. It is finished is the final word that sealed man's redemption. The only thing left for us to do is to believe. Do you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins? Scripture in verse 10 says, our captain goes before us and leads the way home. Paul, maybe thinking back to his former life before becoming a believer, said in Philippians 3:12, and this is in the Message. It's a good contemporary rendering of God's word. Listen to this. Paul writes this in a paraphrase that I have. I'm not saying that I have this all together, Paul said, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running. This is great. Listen to this. I'm off and running, and I'm not looking back. Isn't that great? I'm off and running. That's what you and I are doing in our faith. We're off and running. We're not going to be like those that falter along the way. We're going to keep going. I brought an illustration with me today. Fred, I'm sorry, but you can't have this kite. John Newton wrote, what? Amazing Grace. Of course he did, among other things. You know, we think of John Newton writing Amazing Grace, but he wrote other things as well. And he was not only a great preacher and a songwriter, but he was a great storyteller as well. He told a story about a kite. Now, this kite was rather unique because this kite loved to fly on the windiest of days. And the kite one day was flying, and it said, you know, I'm so restrained by this string that's holding me. I wish I didn't have that string holding me. And the kite went higher and higher and higher. And finally, it went to the height where it said, I'm going to break that restraint and I'm going to go off all by myself. You know what happened, huh? Yeah. The string broke, and what did the kite do? Sounds like a children's message, doesn't it? But all of us basically are children at heart. Don't be like the kite breaking the restraint. Stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Make it a determination in your heart that you're going to finish well. I'm going to do that. Can we escape? Why would we? Who do we see? Jesus, of course. And where are we going? Heaven. and a new life that He's given us down here. Take out your hymnals, please. Open up to hymn 324. 324. Somebody help me. I know there are two hymns, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, but is this the one we usually sing? The one? Pardon? You can come up. We're not going to play right now, though. Thanks. Is that the one we usually sing, guys? Does anyone know? Because it is. Okay, that's the one we usually know. When I survey the... Okay, that's good. 324. When I survey the wondrous cross. What does Jesus Christ want from us? We're not going to play it. Okay. Sorry, I didn't think I made that clear, but thank you so much. Let's read the first verse together. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. We usually sing that on Good Friday or during that week sometime. But listen to the words of this. What does God want from you? Let's read verse 2. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. What charms you most on this earth? Popularity, money, things, stuff. Boy, we have stuff, don't we? Verse 3. Let's read together. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? What a crown the Lord Jesus Christ wore for each one of us. Amazing. Let's read the last verse. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. What does God want from us? Yeah. Hit the bottom. Demands my soul, my life, my all. All He wants is everything. Yeah. Isn't that what it's all about? I mean, why go into the Christian life half-hearted? Do we have a great God? Amen. Amen, indeed we do. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the message this morning. We trust that people were moved to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your great goodness and mercy. Thank You for this time. Thank You for the communion service we are about to observe as well as we survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. In Christ's name, amen.